Hey, listen up.
Yeah, we here and we locked in. Let's keep it going all the way to the top 10. We fear the turtle, so it's no other option. Fred and Ryan, just watch them. Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Welcome back. Another episode of Shell and Tell. Flying solo this week. Really, it's just going to be a therapy session, guys, because what are we going to say? What can you say after another Groundhog Day? Another day that the diehards that watch the game, that watch every game, know how close we really are. Know the knife's edge that this team sits on. But yet the box scores keep screaming that we're a joke. It keeps screaming that we don't belong. Again and again. Like I said, Groundhog Day. You look back at the Michigan game last year, and I think it was 3 fourth-and-1 conversions that if they just decide to kick a field goal, we're going to overtime. If they don't get any of them, we're winning the game. They convert all of them for long touchdowns, for long runs, not 1 yard gains, but like 30 and 40 yard gains. 3 interceptions that weren't really interceptions. But yeah, we're still in it on the road against the best of the best, against the college football playoff teams. You look back at the last home game versus Ohio State. We're down 6 with the ball, about under 2 minutes left. And somehow we turn that into a strip fumble with 9 seconds remaining that ends up in the end zone on the strip fumble. And we end up losing by 13 when, at worst, it's a 6-point game. You go into this. You're winning the first quarter. Even though you're not playing the best ball, but you're still playing pretty good ball. You play kind of bad ball the second quarter. You're still tied with a top 4 team in the nation. You do okay in the third, and you're down 3 points going into the fourth quarter. And then you lose by 20? You do exactly what Vegas said you were going to do. You lose by 20. They said it was going to take a whole game to get down by 20. It took you guys like 10 minutes. You know, to be more specific about the Groundhog Day that this was the Penn State home game when we were the better team and they had the best player on the field. When John Dotson just decided that he wasn't losing this game, no matter what Maryland had to say about it, and went off for what was it, like 3 5-yard slant plays that all went 100 yards to score a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Again, we're down 1 score in the fourth quarter with the ball in Penn State, and then on the it looks like a blowout. And the final score is really all that matters, right? I mean, that's what these other teams are going to say in the recruiting pitch. They're just going to put the final score up. It don't matter. You know, of course, Locks can keep pitching that, you know, well, we're a player or two away from being in this game, and you're that player. Like, but how long can we say it? I'm fully bought in. I don't want you to hear any negative things about this team. But it's so frustrating over and over again. I mean, if it's frustrating for me, can you imagine what these guys on the team are going through with just working their ass off and being better and better and, you know, it not being there when they need it. And it being a lot of mental mistakes or like the dumb 4th-and-1s. Like, we got them right where we wanted them. We stopped them. No, you didn't, because they're stubborn. There's no respect for us in the Big Ten. They're not going to just do what you're supposed to and take the points. We haven't made them yet. We haven't made it cost you. I thought we were going to this time. Ohio State decided to beat Michigan on the very first drive and say, oh, well, we're not going to stop them 4th down. We'll do a fake punt in the shadow of our own end zone. I don't care what Ryan Day has to say. That was not a bad snap. That was a perfectly direct snap to the up back It might not have been the coach's plan. I doubted it was the coach's plan. But it was the plan of the center and the up back that was happening, period. That is 100% evidence for that. The way they blocked it was forward and not, you know, giving a pocket for the punter. It was a fake punt. It was not a bad snap. Get out of here. There was no respect for us. They thought they were going to do exactly what Michigan did, and we're not punting. We're going to score on every possession. We're going to walk down the field. And they couldn't do it. I am so impressed with our run defense. I've been saying all year that's what's going to haunt us. This run defense has not been what I thought it could be or should be, and it certainly was in this game. I mean, I know that Ohio State had to be a part of that. They just must not be there. This offensive line must not be ready. The running back, of course, their backup running back, but come on. The backup running back or wide receiver at Ohio State is the starter on like 95% of teams in the country. It's just the way it is. We've always said that our depth is never going to compete with the depth of the top three. That's not reality where we are right now. But our top-end guys have proven they can. Our defense spent a lot of time on the field in that third and fourth quarter, and the injuries started mounting, and missed assignments started happening, and it fell apart. And one of the best players in the country, again, Marvin Harrison Jr., just did what he's paid to do and just balled. I mean, think we're down three. We have them at second and 33. We're getting the ball back, guys. And we're going the right direction already on defense. No. Marvin Harrison Jr. with a questionable catch, but most likely a catch. I think it would have stood either way, even if it went to replay. 33-yard conversion and never looked back. He was unstoppable after that. He got his mojo back. There's a lot of times in that game we could have taken it. There's a lot of times in that game I was texting my family during the beginning of that game. 17-0, and these guys start pointing fingers. 17-0, and they start crying at each other. 17-0, this is falls apart, ends up being a blowout. But instead, we throw a pick six up 10. It changed everything. Now, it's not 100% on Leah. I think there's a miscommunication in the route. I think throwing that route is a trust play. I don't love that call in the shadow of your own end zone because it's going to be a pick six. I don't honestly love that call anywhere because you're counting on linemen or running backs chasing somebody down if it goes wrong. The timing comeback route right there close to the line gives you no margin for error if it goes poorly. It's just not one of my favorite plays, but it's in a lot of offenses across the country. It just goes when it goes wrong, it goes real wrong. And I don't love it. But you know, it is what it is. You lost to the number four team in the country. Most realistic fans thought this is where we would be. In fact, you might have thought we'd be 4-2. We're now 5-1. When we put this schedule on paper, I don't know that we thought that. We didn't schedule an easy schedule. We didn't have a Michigan where you just put four cupcakes out there. Our teams kind of became cupcakes or like maybe like bundt cakes, kind of like a little bit better than a cupcake. I don't know. Michigan State wasn't supposed to be a walkover. When they were on the schedule, I mean, of course we get them every year, but like you'd look at them 18 months ago or so. You're looking at Mel Tucker, the new big bad. Michigan State's the new fourth best team in the conference. That could have been a problem. It isn't. It wasn't. It's not now. You put Virginia on this schedule. It's an ACC opponent. It's not an AAC opponent. When we put the AAC opponent, Charlotte, on the schedule, they were just this up-and-coming commuter college that we did a home and home with for, I'm sure, some cash to go down there for them. We didn't know they were going to have Biff Pogge. We didn't know they were going to have all of St. Francis, including five stars that have traveled the country, you know, coming into town. They were a much harder competition than when we put them on the schedule. Towson's Towson. There was no risk there. But look across the country, like nobody in the upper echelons just schedules all beasts. It just doesn't happen anymore. I mean, the only people that ever used to do that was Notre Dame and maybe USC back in the day. But it doesn't happen anymore. I don't know. I know that I'm still on board with this team. I know we can still do great things. We take care of business. We're looking at 9 wins. And you still have a chance to steal them. I do. I still think I was right. I think that this was the easiest one to steal. But we were down by 3, not playing a pretty game. Not playing a pretty game. So maybe this was the easiest one to steal, but maybe there's a slight step up against a Michigan, against a Penn State. And maybe the weather's perfect, and maybe they have some giveaway, and maybe we get 45 to 55% of the fans in the stadium in some miracle, and maybe they show up before they come out of the tunnel, and maybe there's some excitement, and maybe we can steal one still. We'll see. I know there's no moral victories anymore, but like you really got to look back at what these games were just a couple years ago. We were just getting blown out. There was no point. Sure, 20 points doesn't sound good, but 3/4 of it felt pretty damn good. It was fun. It kept me engaged. I remember times where we're down 21-0 in the first quarter of Ohio State, and even I'm like, well, what else can we do today? Not in the stadium. You're not catching me leaving the stadium early, but an away game. You might get me to TiVo that shit. I don't know. I know it's got to be frustrating. Let's hear from Mr. Loxley about his frustrations.
Last 2 halves, the first half, the last 2 games, of course. Is that the question?
Does what happened feel like it validates kind of the nitpicking that you had in some of the wins?
No, it doesn't, because we coach those things, and now it's a matter of continuing to coach. You know, I always say, there's nothing worse when a coach says, I told him 100 times. And I say, well, what makes 100 the magic number? How about tell him 101 times? Right? That's the same thing for me. And so before the half of the last 2 games when we've had opportunities to score, like these are situations that we literally have a Friday script. And I stole this from Uncle Nick down in Alabama, like hitting these situations that come up. And, you know, for the average fan, when you got 12 seconds on the clock with no timeouts, you know, sometimes you check it down too, but we've been taught a check down doesn't allow you to get the next playoff. So it's either throw it for the end zone, throw it out of bounds, and let's try to kick it. But it happens in the heat of the moment. And this is where I probably wouldn't be as fat as I am, probably have more hair if I didn't deal with the stressors that go with like an 18 to 22-year-old controlling your livelihood. But I love these kids, man. I'm going to go to battle with them every single day. Like, they don't do it on purpose, and I'll continue to coach, and I'll continue to try to be positive. I'll continue to probably nitpick. I'll be all over the place like I am for this interview right now. So,
what are you going to say? Coach said it all. They didn't do it on purpose. And yeah, of course, even in the moment afterwards, you become a, you know, Monday morning quarterback. How could you do that? How could you throw that there? Well, you're trying to win the game, and you have grown men trying to throw you to the ground, and you see your player standing by himself in front of you, you get rid of the ball. He should have known better. He should have coached better. The ball should have been thrown out of bounds or in the end zone. But again, the running back should have known better. The running back is an eligible receiver. He could have slapped the ball to the ground, incomplete pass, over. So you can't hang Talia for that too. There's a problem there. Maybe I have to go back and look, but I don't believe he was out of the pocket on this. So you can't just throw it away. You need an eligible receiver. Maybe he couldn't have a clear line of sight to anyone in the end zone. Maybe that's what he wanted to do. Of course, he needed to throw it more at his feet and less of his hands at that point. But you can't take an intentional grounding there either, or it's the same thing. We're talking about the same thing. You can make excuses for him all day. It should have been done better. Frankly, I think the Ohio State player should have been flagged for defensive delay game. It happens all the time. He laid on him. He held his jersey after the offensive player was standing up. They could have easily penalized them 5 yards or half the distance of the goal and an untimed down. It could have been made. Probably would have been made if Maryland was doing that to Ohio State at halftime. But you're not going to get the calls against these guys. You have to go take it. You have to dominate the top of the league in order to win. You have to. There's no calls coming. And I don't expect them, and I don't blame them. You protect the shield, and the shield is the Big Ten. And in order to protect the shield, you get somebody in the playoff. And so they don't want Ohio State, Michigan, or Penn State to lose to anyone but Ohio State, Michigan, or Penn State. That's what they want. I'm not saying it'll happen. There is a way to get to a level to beat them. There's not a fix, but there is a slant. I don't know. And part of the lack of motivation of getting this together and getting the show together this week is just like, what comes next? Because a win here probably wouldn't have mattered like we talked about last week for attendance this weekend. Even more so, this loss, even though it was a close game, is not going to help anything. And, you know, we're Maryland. So the weather is probably the number one predictor of attendance. Weather looks awful on Saturday. On and off rain all day. Right now, it does look like there's a good three quarters of the game that might just be cloudy. Seats are going to be wet before you get there. Probably going to rain when you're leaving. It's too early. They don't know the exact time periods, but we'll see. It's homecoming, but lots aren't going to look good. I can tell you that. Even the ones that are going to the game, lots aren't going to look good. I might even consider skipping the lot. We might just go do a dinner gate. We've done that before where we just tailgate by going to a restaurant nearby and then coming to the game. I know one of the fans of the show was talking to me about a student hall, a eatery there on campus where you can pay to eat. So maybe we'll just do that. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll be there. Rain, shine, lightning, whatever. We'll stay under the concourse. I don't know. And then what do you get from this game? Okay, so we win. Well, right now we're an 85.5% chance of winning according to ESPN. No one's going to give you any credit for it. You'll be 6-1 and bowl eligible. It's huge. With no buzz. How? How do you Maryland go to 6-1 first time since 2001 and it'll be no buzz. It'll be nothing. It won't matter at all for the upcoming attendance or publicity. It'll matter to these kids, and it'll matter a little bit to the diehards out there. But it's not getting anybody to the show. Now, like we talked about, we were playing for 8-0. We did not get the O. But 7-1 coming into a big boy, if the weather's right, then you might start seeing some things. You might start seeing some people crawl out. And I'll set up exactly what it's been. It'll set up that Iowa game that everyone was pumped up for. It'll set up that Penn State game where we come in with one loss or undefeated, whatever it was at that point. They'll bring in extra stands and it was 63-3 or whatever it was. So that's where you have to prove people that you're not the same team. That's what this is going to come down to. It's going to come down to the future. It's not going to come down to this week. The only thing that can happen this week is we can be super depressed. Winning of any fashion this week is just another expected attribute. This is one of those teams in the Big Ten you have to stay ahead of. You have to win against Illinois. You have to win against Indiana. You have to win against these lower level Big Ten squads to try to continue to build this program. It's Terps versus Terps. It was last weekend against real competition. It is this weekend against not real competition. So, like, I don't even want to discuss their team. If we play the way we are supposed to play, we'll be fine. Even though the injuries seem to be mounting, I don't think we're going to have Still this week. I don't think we're going to have Barham this week, even though we played last week, because the way he was limping around that field, it didn't look like he was supposed to play last week. I think he only played against Ohio State. And were you going to look Barham in his face and say, you can't play Ohio State when the transfer portal's looming out there? No. You're going to tell him, kid, I don't know if it's in your best interest, but if you want to go, you go. And that's what it looked like. Because, I mean, quarter one, my man's limping around there. He didn't look terrible during plays, but when he's walking back to the line of scrimmage, it looked awful. We have the running back depth. We have the wide receiver depth. We're not worried about there. It's the cornerback depth. It's the real problem. If we don't have Still again, we have had better play out of our backups than I thought we would. But it's not great. We've been able to play closer and man coverage on more people than I ever thought we would. I guess their number one wide receiver is Isaiah Williams. He's not a giant like we've been playing against. That helps. 5'10", 185. He's a junior. 38 receptions, 503 yards. I mean, at least that's a little bit helpful that we don't have to have somebody that's 6'2", 6'4". Playing against us and dominating. I'm not saying these little guys can't just show up and ball out. Of course he can. But I think we have more corners that are more capable of covering that player than a Marvin Harrison Jr., than a Ubeka, than the absolute studs that Ohio State has out there on the edge. I am impressed with Ohio State's quarterback. I thought he could have folded earlier than he did. Being younger, having less experience. Again, I do think that if we score instead of throwing a pick six, that the rest of the game's not going to matter. But who knows? I've been wrong before. I don't know, guys. I just wanted to touch base. I just wanted to let you know we still exist. We don't just record podcasts when we win. We're here with the boys. Always have been. Always will be. We live to fight another day. And that's all there is. That's what this weekend is. You win because you're supposed to. And that keeps your season in line for good things, for great things. But nobody's going to be excited about an empty stadium beating Illinois. This is going to be another day where our fans hurt the program because we can't get damn. You want to be a big-time program. You want to be a top three. But the top three shows up no matter what. I don't know what to do. Well, guys, we really need to get the health back on our side. That's the big thing right now. So all of the good juju, all the thoughts, all the prayers, whatever you got going on to help this team get healthy again and get ready for these two upcoming top 10 challenges, because they just keep coming in this league. We need it. We truly need it. So do what you can. Maybe you can find some people that really like to sit in the rain and drag them down to the stadium. I'm not sure. I don't know that it's going to help because overall the numbers are going to be terrible. But I'll be there. I'll be in Section 7 for sure. You'll be able to see me because I'll be the only person in Section 7. So maybe I'll even wear the big hat this week, try to take up a little bit more real estate on the bleachers there. Calling this a redout. I'm so depressed in that. I'm so, can we stop with the outs? No blackouts, no yellow outs, no red outs. We can't do it until we fill the stadium. No outs. Don't advertise it. It's just embarrassing. Just come out. How about that? Just come out. We can have a silver out. You want a silver out this weekend? Because we could do that. I don't know. Sorry for the letdown, guys. We're going to win this weekend. It's going to be fine. We're keeping it line. 6-1, bowl eligible within 7 weeks of the season starting. Why? What's there to be depressed about? Just the attendance. That's it. Just the attendance. That's all I can really be upset about. Just the local coverage. That's all. Love Coach Locks. If you can't get on board, like I tweeted, with what Coach Locks is doing and saying about these kids, the openness that we're getting in these press conferences, the security that he seems to have in his job right now that lets him say real talk. It's not all coach speak. It's not all raced. Then I don't know what to do for you. I said on Twitter, unfollow the show. I guess you need to stop following the show if you don't like Coach Locks, because we're not getting off board anytime soon. This is the only coach that can win a national championship at Maryland and stay here. The only one. There's not another human being on the planet Earth that could get to that level of success at Maryland and stay. So you just have to ride it. You have to see if it happens. Maybe he can't ever do that. Maybe he can't ever make a playoff. I think once the expanded playoffs in line, then we can have a shot every now and then. We'll find out. I could be crazy. But I think he can keep us a top 25 program. And I think he's the only one that can take Maryland and make it a annual top 25 program and not bail for bigger, better things. So you ride that hand. Until next time, guys, here's a wishing. All is well under the show.